There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandom, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we're talking about how we react to other people's joy. It's actually a really interesting question to dig into. I saw this on one of the women I follow's Instagram. Her name is Kelty Knight. She's a host on E! News and or entertainment. She does a lot of hosting stuff. She does a lot of cool stuff in the entertainment world. And she posted this reel being like, hey, it's a really healthy thing to do is like sit down and ask yourself, how do you react to other people's joy? Like, do you feel genuine happiness, or does it like spur you into like a competitive mindset? Does it like, do you instantly feel jealousy? Does it inspire you? Does it motivate you? There's a lot of different avenues that you can take. And, you know, our goal is to like just feel joy for that person. Mm-hmm. And asking yourself, when those things happen, why you're feeling that way can really help you get to a point where you can just be happy. So we're going to dig into that today. And I think that's going to be a really interesting discussion. But first, we're going to roll into Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture News, because boy, do we have a lot of shit to talk about today.
I know, I added this big thing at the end here.
Yeah. You want to start us off with that since I just talked a bunch?
Sure. Okay. So Christine, by the way, had a whole weekend at a bachelorette. So she's talking a little lower than expected.
I am.
So let's give her grace today. Okay. So
gosh, you can already tell.
Oh, it's low.
Oh, shit.
No, you're fine. It's loud enough, but I can tell you're like trying the tone to pull is back. Okay, so Disney just announced a big delay for all their blockbusters coming out. So basically everything is being pushed back a year. And this comes amongst obviously the writer's strike and the switch from Bob Chapek to Bob Iger. And I know Bob Iger is wanting less content and more better content, I think, because he thought like there was way too much and now they're trying to pull back and wrangle the budgets. Avatar got pushed back. So we have Avatar 3 coming December 2025. It was going to come out 2024. Avatar 4 is coming out 2029. And then...
Wait, isn't Avatar, though, like, already shot?
Apparently. They lied.
That's so weird.
And then Avatar 5 is coming out 2031.
Ew.
I know. I don't even want to think about it.
Oh my God. That's so far.
I will be closer to 40.
I will be 40.
Okay. Next.
Gross.
The two right. Avengers movies, Avengers King Dynasty and Avengers Secret Wars, all got moved. So King Dynasty is coming out 2026 and Secret Wars is 2027. Fantastic Four, which honestly I had no idea that like that was actually happening, is coming out May 2025. Thunderbolts, which I think...
Oh my God, there's so many.
There is, but there isn't. So Thunderbolts is coming out, which is like... Do you know about this movie?
I have no idea what the fuck Thunderbolts is.
So Thunderbolts is like
a cartoon.
The team
with a dog.
The team about the team of like misfits. So we have like Yelena. We have like the other Captain America that got kicked out of the Captain versus or Falcon versus Winter Soldier. And anyways, it doesn't look very appealing to me. I'm only going to like watch it for Yelena, honestly. And I think Bucky's in it as well. That got moved to December 2024. Captain America Brave New World with Sam as Captain America is moved to August 26, 2024. I think that was going to be the next like big Marvel movie coming out, because the last Marvel movie we have is the Marvels coming out this year in May. Or wait, no, it's June in July. Whenever that's coming out, I don't know.
There's so many I can't keep up at all. Deadpool.
Deadpool
is
got
considered
moved
a
up.
Disney movie.
Deadpool is now a Disney movie. So Deadpool 3 got moved up to May 3rd, 2024.
Huh.
So that's just next year.
Interesting. That's the only one I'm looking forward to.
Me too. Wolverine's going to be in it.
And also Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. And also
My favorite.
Is Deadpool going to be PG-13? I don't think so.
Probably not. I feel like we already know it's rated R.
Yeah. There's also two new Star Wars movies coming out the same year in 2026, but we don't know what they are yet. And then the Moana remake is coming out June 2025.
All right. That was a lot. Yeah. Abby says, is Deadpool going to be PG-13 even if it's on Disney? I feel like they sign on to Deadpool knowing that it's rated R. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, how can they do
might
that?
Make two versions of it like they did. Like, there's the unrated and then there's a PG-13 movie. Remember when they released that?
No.
Yeah. They released a like PG-13 version of it so people could watch it on Disney Plus or something.
Interesting. All right. Well, all right. Today in Taylor Swift news, we missed a big thing that happened because we recorded early last week, but Taylor and Matt Healy officially broke up, which was, I think, good news to a lot of the Swifties. Yeah. Like, when we first learned about him, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. But, like, the longer they were together, the more we heard about his terribleness and the harder it was to want them together at all. But I do really think it was unfair to shit on Taylor for dating him, because I'm sure she, too, wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, because she has had the media say shitloads of bad things about her that were not true. She has trauma about it. So I bet she was trying to get to know him in person, like day by day. And the more she learned, the probably worse this got. but she had to make that mistake herself, just like everyone does when they're dating somebody.
But also, like, she had to know, like, to for her personally, like, this was a rebound for her. Like, this was never going to go anywhere.
But she, so but quick. When you're in that headspace, I feel like you still think that you don't know that until after, you know? Like, because you want to find your person so desperately, especially after you have that, like, really solid, steady person ripped away. You're like, wow, I'm empty. Am I ever going to find anyone else? And if you find someone and latch onto them, it's like, I found someone. They might be the person. Like, I feel like you have that mindset until it's proven wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been in her position, but.
He said a lot of ignorant, shitty, terrible things. recently, not late, not like, because when this all first came out, I thought it was like referring to like back in the olden times, which he was probably the olden times of 2014, 2016, but like old enough that you could have grown since then. But then like all this other stuff was from this year. And I was like, okay. Oh no.
Well, that's over and done with now.
Yes. But yeah, but like going back to like her trauma about all of the stuff people said about her, like one of the reasons she fell in love with Joe was that he wasn't talking about that stuff. He wasn't reading what people were saying in the papers. And I'm sure she likes to give that to whoever comes into her life.
Mm, I'm sure. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So another exciting thing happening. Olivia Rodrigo has new music coming out June 30th. The song is called Vampire. I believe it's a single, but it doesn't say for sure. I don't think she's just going to drop an album, but if she does, I'll be really excited. But it's called Vampire. And I wonder if it has anything to do with the controversy of like her supposedly like sucking off of everyone else's like musical songs and hits. That was my first thought. I'd be like, that's really clever if she has an angle on the album about being seen as someone who works off of everyone else's success and that's why she's successful, which is not true at all. That's like what art is. It builds off of whatever inspires you and you make your own thing out of it. But that's like the perception.
I didn't even think of that. I just saw Vampire. Did you see that the video? Well, Twilight reposted it on their Instagram, but it was her producer trying to say the words and it wasn't matching up. Of like, Bella, where the hell have you been, Loca? I'm like, first of all, there's no vampire in that whole little situation. It's a werewolf saying that. But the video that I think like her producer and herself made was very funny. It just was like she like made this old man say these words and it was hilarious.
Wait, is her producer an old man? I thought she was like dating her producer.
Okay, I don't know who it was. I'm just making a guess.
I'm very excited for Vampire. I'm excited for anything Olivia Rodrigo puts out. I'm pumped. And like, I feel like there was a big rumor even last year that she was going to do like an album called Sweet after Sour. And I was like, just give us anything.
Like the seven songs do not sustain me. I need more.
I know. Was it eight songs? Maybe it was eight. I don't know. Maybe it was seven. But I love the first album. It was so good. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on into what right now. What are you reading right now, Natasha?
Okay. I started Twisted Love by Anna Huang. And I saw this book when we went to London and I was like immediately intrigued. It reminded me of the Paper Princess series that I read. And I'm having a hard time getting into it. I'm just reading it with my eyes because I finished the football book and then I wanted to read like another romance book. And this one's like very, I don't know if I've moved on from this trope, but it's very alpha hole. Like, Winnipeg and Me, that's the book I read last. And
I love how you're using alpha hole from like the fucking Crescent City books and not just like asshole.
Alpha male trope and like very controlling. And I used to love this stuff like when I was younger, but now I'm just like, this is stupid. So I'm trying to give it everyone. There's people who really like it. And they end up loving it. Okay, so Melissa says, I've heard people have had a hard time getting into it, but then they end up loving it. That's what I'm seeing. So, and I started listening again to Mr. Darcy Takes a Wife. I really only got like two chapters into it because like the whole old English way of talking was not, it was hard. I had to like rewind and like listen and rewind and listen. But I'm kind of in the groove of it. And it's very spicy. And I really like it. But then it takes you out of it because you have like a spicy chapter and then it throws you to another character. And I'm like, ah, just give me all the spice in old English, please.
Nice.
What have you been reading, Christine? Katie says, Natasha, I'm begging you to read the Bridgerton books. Okay, hold on one second. I don't want to read the Bridgerton books because I love the show so much. So I really don't want to spoil the show for me because I love the show. Like, right, Christine, there's like sometimes where you have to decide like if you want to read the books.
Yeah, do show or books.
And yeah, I just hold the show in such high regard. I know the books are good, but I also know that there's like a lot of other books in that genre that I could also be reading.
Yeah, this is how I was about Game of Thrones. Like, I love the first season and I tried to read the book and I was like, I don't want to know. I want to watch it. because it's done so well that I want to see it happen mm-hmm. with the show. So I can totally understand that. I was going on these super fucking early flights. So my flight to Miami was a 6:30 a.m. flight. out of LAX. And I had a 7 a.m. flight out of Miami. And that was after a night at the fucking club. I literally rolled out of that club, got home, packed my shit, took an hour nap, and then left for the airport. sleep. I knew I wasn't going to be reading with my eyeballs. Like, I would just, like, fall directly asleep. I got an audiobook, and I think Naomi recommended Thanks for Listening by Julia Whelan, and I've been really curious about it since I saw it because I fucking love Julia Whelan's audiobooks so much. If you don't know, she does all of Emily Henry's. She did Addie LaRue. She's done so many of Taylor Jenkins' reads, not but novels. Like, she is so good. Mm-hmm. Her man voice is unparalleled in sexiness. And I love that she tackles that. So Thanks for Listening is about an actress who ended up being an audiobook narrator. Like, she wanted to be an actress, but then she started narrating audiobooks because of something that's happened in her life, and she's so good at it. and she's really well known now. And in the beginning, she's talking to, like, a waiter at a conference where she's going to be doing a panel. And he's like, "No way, you do audiobooks? Name one that I would have heard." And she names one. And he's like, "Oh, my God, that was amazing. Who did the guy voice in that one with you?" And she's like, "It was me." And he's like, no, the guy voice. And she's like, "Yeah, that was me." And he's like, "No, there's a guy on the audio."
No, it was me.
And then she talks in the guy voice and he's like, "Whoa, how did you do that?" But it is amazing to watch these women who do the audiobooks do the man voice, because they're so good at it, and they can slip into it so easily. Mm-hmm. And it's not like hokey if it's a good one. Mm-hmm. It's just like good. Mm-hmm. It's just like you slip into the character. And so I'm really excited to read more of that, because I only got a few chapters in before I fell asleep.
Oh, no. Yeah, my biggest ick is when a male narrator does a woman's voice. It's like, really up high.
You know, the funniest is Jim Dale doing Hermione Granger.
I was just thinking that.
I can't even pull it up in my head right now, but it's fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, it's laughable, but you just get used to it. But yeah, like, Julia Whelan's man voice is sexy as hell. Like, she'll narrate. I love Brittany Presley's as well. That's why I wanted her to do my audiobooks. it was all about the man voice when I was listening to those auditions. I mean, it was about how they delivered the comedy as well. But if they got to the man voice and I didn't believe it, or if it sounded douchey, I was like, all right. TV shows. What did you watch this week?
We both watched Never Have I Ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Final season.
The final season of Never Have I Ever, another show that's ending.
I know.
Every good show that we love is, like, coming to a close this year. Never Have I Ever is a Mindy Kaling show about a young girl in high school, and it follows her basically from freshman year to her senior year. And it's a rom-com, and it's a coming-of-age story, and it's everything I love in those books. Yes. I mean, those books and those tropes.
So many good tropes. So many
good romance tropes, and also, like, a really strong family storyline that's very moving.
Mm-hmm. I love that show. It's so good.
I love it. It's on Netflix if you haven't watched it. It's amazing, like, heartwarming binge watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Abby says her and her mom really get me. It's so good. Yeah, I love them.
Yes, I fucking love them too. I was just in tears watching their last episode. Mm-hmm. It was so good.
I watched the first three episodes of The Crowded Room with...
Wait, this is a show?
And Tom Holland. Yeah.
Wait, I thought that was a movie.
It's on... No, it's on Apple... it's on Apple TV. And another Apple show with, like, amazing, expensive talent, too. So this show is set in, like, the 1970s. And we follow... We don't really know what's happening, but we follow this guy and Tom Holland. And he's, like, in high school. And he commits... Not... We don't know really what happens, but we see a shooting happen. And then suddenly he's in jail. And so now we're following of, like, what happened? Why is he here? Who's behind this? Was he set up? Blah, blah, blah. He looks terrible in this film. I mean, sorry, TV show. So don't expect to be swooning. but the girl from Conversation with Friends, the best friend character, she's in this as well. And then also Amanda Seyfried. So my thoughts for the first three episodes is that it didn't, it kind of hooked me, but not really. Like, it's supposed to be a crime thriller, and I'm not really, like, need to watch the next episode. It's just like, okay, I'll watch the next episode. That's how it's kind of hooked me. I'm just kind of watching for Tom, honestly.
Interesting. I was curious about that. I was thinking about watching it last night when I was looking for a movie. I can't believe it's a show.
Yep. Everything's a show.
I love shows, though. Mm-hmm. What movies did you watch this week?
I saw an early screening of Elemental, and it's Pixar's new film. It is incredible. It's probably my new favorite Pixar film. And I have to say, this is, like, the first Pixar film that really did romance well. And I wasn't really expecting that. I don't really want to go into it, but I'm just going to...
Yeah, don't say anymore.
But, like, the world is that there's four elements, earth, wind, and fire. And they're living in the elemental city. And you kind of see how it the themes, I'm not going to even tell you the themes either. But you'll see as it all, like, unfolds and evolves. But it's... Yeah, it's really great. And honestly, like,
I'm really,
I saw it in a 40X theater. I do not,
I feel like everyone always regrets 40X.
No, I do not recommend. So, like, this greeting was hosted by my friends Francis and Patrick, and I think we were hosted by, like, the people who do 40X. So sorry to them, but it is not worth it. Do not waste your money. It was so violent for a fucking Pixar film. We were being tossed about. Luckily, there weren't any water effects. So we were, even though, like, it's earth, wind, and...
I was going to say, I thought there would be.
Earth, wind, and fire. Earth, wind, fire, water. Those are the mm-hmm. yeah. And...
Those are the elements.
There were some people, we looked over, there's this one guy, he has this, like, drink without, a top on it. And so it's like an alcoholic drink. And he's literally riding this seat like a bull.
Like, I only did the 40X once with Crimes of Grindelwald. And I was like,
like, I wish it was, they, like, just took us on, like, a woo, like a little.
It's just distracting, though. You want to be able to focus on the film. It is very, it's not a ride.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Lillian says it looks so cute, but it's also giving Zootopia fan
fiction. I
felt
that same way. I was like, this feels like Zootopia in the way that it looks, I think.
I would say yes, but it's because we're in, like, a city made of not animals but elements.
Yeah, but I didn't like Zootopia.
I liked Zootopia.
Everyone loved that movie. I fell asleep twice.
Oh, I loved it. Well, I think it's better than Zootopia, so.
Good. Good. All right. Well, before we move into our discussion today, we want to take a second to thank y'all all for listening. We appreciate you being here so much. If you haven't yet, we'd love it if you followed us for free in your favorite podcast listening app, whether that be like Pocket Casts or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's really easy to just click the follow button for free. If you like watching the show, we have a visual version on YouTube, youtube.com/thoseforkingfangirls. Subscribe to us there for free. Leave us a comment when you're watching. We love interacting with you. And if, you know, other ways to support the podcast, that's really, you know, that's great. Some way to support the podcast is to subscribe, follow, comment, all of that. Tell a friend you think that would like it. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's really easy. It doesn't have to be anything grand or special, but it really helps us out. And if you want to support us in a bigger way, we have a Patreon. And we have tons of perks over there. Our big one at the $5 level is our half an hour extra show called Fangirl Tea Time that we do after every single show. We dig a little deeper. We talk more about what's going on in our lives, and we do deeper topics and more personal stories. And there are now 30 episodes of that to go back and listen to.
I think some people get confused because we give, like, we push out the episode to our Patreons as in like an XL episode, and so our Fangirl Tea Time is at the end of the main show, so there's not like a separate episode for Fangirl Tea Time. It's at the end of every
you
single
get it
episode.
All together if you're a patron.
So you have to
it comes all together.
You have to scrub through.
You just go to the last half an hour of every show to find the Fangirl Tea Time once you're a patron, but it's at the end of every single episode, and you get it in a nice little package when you're a patron, and you have no ads, so that's great too. And there's tons of other perks on there as well. You can take a look and investigate them in the link in the show notes, patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. All right,
main discussion.
Let's jump into this. So, like I said, I saw a reel where Kelty was talking about this, and I was intrigued by it and really wanted to, like, dig deeper into it. So, when other people are excited about something, what is your reaction to it is basically the prompt here. Do you feel competitive? Do you feel jealous? Do you feel inspired to go after what they have? Do you feel incompetent for and, like, get sad because you have a similar goal and you haven't reached it yet? Do you feel bitter, left behind, or do you feel true happiness for their happiness?
I think that's the goal, like, right?
That's the goal. That's the goal. So, like, it's completely natural for any of these other things to, I mean, I feel like it's also really nice to be inspired by what they're doing too. And I don't think that any of these, like, feeling competitive, I don't think that's completely negative either, but, like, because that could motivate you to do things. Like, there are pros and cons to a lot of these, but of course we never want the bitterness. The jealousy just kind of feels shitty, you know? Like, you don't want those. But it's a spectrum here. And it's
like, maybe it's at first you feel jealous, and then it turns to bitterness, and then it turns to, okay, wait, let me see how.
Let me take a step back. Because it forces it. Analyzing your feelings like this, like, helps you to grow and understand yourself, which is always a good thing.
Honestly, filling out these questions, I feel like I was filling out, like, homework from a therapist or something.
It is definitely, like, a therapy question, but I feel like it's a really good one. It's a really positive one. And, like, analyzing why we feel a certain way really, like, brings us back, I feel like, to our childhoods. Because it took me a really long time to come to terms with the fact that, like, when people had reactions that were, like, mean to something that I was excited about, that it wasn't about me. And it wasn't, like, a strike towards, like, oh, you're terrible. It was more about something in their life. And once you learn that and accept that, it's still, like, at first I feel, like, hard when someone reacts poorly to something that's exciting for you. But it happens all the time. And when it happens in mass, it can really, like, get to you. Like, why do people hate me for, like, something that I'm excited about? But, like, it's not about you. A lot of the time.
I feel like, when people are not excited for you, I feel like that's how we felt when we were younger. right?
Yes.
Like, we kind of had to hold it all in if something, like, really amazing happened, because us mm-hmm. as youths didn't really know how to, like, we weren't developed
to
enough.
To cope with that. Mm-hmm.
We didn't know how to cope with it because, I mean, even if you had siblings, there's always jealousy in someone getting something more than you, or, and it's interesting because I feel like joy is such a trigger word for being so faith-based, because it's always like in church, you're trained to be like, my joy comes from Christ.
That's so funny because there's no joy in Catholicism. We never talk about joy.
Really?
Ever. It's guilt, guilt, guilt.
Like, I mean, there's lots of guilt in Christianity too.
There's literally, we never talk about happiness. Ever. Ever. It's never mentioned. It's never a concern. It's, like, when I was reading your answers to this question, I was like, really? Joy?
Yeah. Because it's like, it's so ingrained in me.
Katie says if you're feeling joy, you're doing something wrong.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm feeling joy for something that's not based in Christ, then there's guilt because it's like, okay, I'm not like, oh my God. Right? So like I was taught.
What?
Yes. I was taught to, like, if I found joy in, like, the earthly things, like, the tangible things, that's not true joy.
So, like, a good pair of socks brings you joy, but you're like, you're not allowed.
Yes. No. Well, and it's ridiculous, right? And so they teach you that when you're really, really young. And especially, I took this all very seriously in high school. Yet, I am having so much joy reading Twilight and going to these events. So
oh, no.
I know. and I'm like, oh, well, I trying to explain this to my grandparents back then, they just did not get it. They're like vampires, like blah, blah, blah. Yes, Katie, Christianity can be so silly. And
that was just like when I was trying to explain to Harry Potter, everyone was just like, that's not real, though. You know that. It's like, what does that have to do with anything? It's obviously a fantasy novel.
Yes. So, but I do remember like the first like very vivid time where I felt jealousy towards people, and it wasn't in things, because I trained myself to be like, okay, well, if she gets, I don't know, this like new dress, like I don't need to be jealous about that. Like, whatever, that's fine. Like, let her have her exciting, fun thing. But it was like, because my home life was so toxic, and I would see all my friends with their, you know, seemingly happy families, and nothing really too big was rocking the boat. And then they would come complain at me and be like, well, my mom did this. And I'm like, well, my mom's sitting over here drunk, like not being able to take us to school. And so like, aww. Like I would feel so jealous of other people's joyful home lives. And that's how I think that kind of erupted in me. Definitely in high school.
That's how it manifested. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know about other people's home lives. I feel like I just assumed everyone had a similar home life for a really long time. Like, I didn't really think about it like that. I feel like I, in middle school, I wouldn't really call it, I guess it was like a little bit of jealousy when I wanted, like, everyone had like designer stuff and I was like, oh, I want a Coach bag so bad. Or was that just me just really wanting to fit in? I don't know. It doesn't really, that doesn't really strike home with me. I feel like maybe I was jealous when people like met Robert Pattinson.
Okay, that's funny because Melissa just brought up that during the Twilight days, like, it was really hard not to be jealous. And I totally feel that.
Yeah, but I didn't really know anyone that met them. Like, it would be like a random, like, oh, I'm so jealous. This random person. Oh, you know what? Okay. When I was listening to like podcasts, because I was listening to like all the Twilight podcasts, and they would be like on the set of the Twilight movies. I'd be so jealous.
It's like,
I'd be like, oh my God.
That's funny because of that, like because of my jealousy for all these opportunities that just fans got because of Twilight, like that's what pushed, I think, both of us to be like, well, I want to be in this world. This looks so fun. Like, I love this stuff so much. Like, oh, I'm jealous, but also like, how do I make this happen?
Inspired. Yeah, motivated. So that's like the other side of the coin, because sometimes that can manifest into something really positive and push you to go after your goals. It's only when it like starts to affect your mental health and make you, I think when it turns to bitterness mm-hmm. is when it can get really ugly. But like just like the surface jealousy can really easily morph into something positive if you take a step back and look at it, you know, and be like, oh, well, I can do this. And like, how do I get there? Like you were saying, mm-hmm. because that's the reason why I was like, oh, I want to join Page to Premiere, because like I want to cover carpets and stuff. And like, yep, that's why, how do I get to do that? That's why we became best friends. Abby, I want to say something really brave right now. I got upset when you all met Catherine Hardwick, but then I was happy for you. Thanks, Abby.
I want it to be me.
Oh,
yeah. I think also like as I moved throughout my career, because I wasn't like, I think that was like the first point in my life where I was jealous of someone's accomplishments and not so much like how their lives were, like the jealousy of family life, but more of like the jealousy of the opportunities that they got mm-hmm. and being like, well, why not me, you know?
Yeah.
And go on.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and then when we got into like our early YouTube days and like suddenly we were all together and having fun, and there was like a sense of competitiveness. And then also like I truly, back then, I can look back at it now, like I didn't find out what I truly loved and what was passionate about. I just kind of went with like, okay, everyone's talking about books, I'm going to talk about books, and trying to make that all work, but also being like a little bit behind everyone in the curve and not, and like being with you guys and doing all the fun things, but then also not getting the same type of opportunities along with it. And I was like, ugh, why not me? Why not now?
So I feel like the first time I was experiencing like coming up on YouTube was definitely a time where you have to like constantly battle these feelings of like, because like it's a lot of like the luck of what catches a wave on the way up. And I remember just watching all of these British people and their having all of these friends around them to create stuff with. And I was just like so frustrated all the time that I didn't have that. And I'd like work really hard to do it all by myself. And then when I met these people, it wasn't like no one, it felt like it didn't, I was still not taken seriously at all. Mm-hmm. And that's what, it was really frustrating. Like I felt like very, I don't know where that falls on here. But like it was like, I guess like I will oscillate between feeling like super competitive, inspired, and then feeling incompetent. Like what is wrong? Like why am I not good enough, even though I feel like my stuff is really good? But like it eventually finds the audience, you know? It's just like it's different. It's a different situation. But on the way up, I can feel like everyone on the way up in YouTube, let's see, Katie, my whole character arc has been, oh shit, everyone's talking. Okay. My whole character arc has been on learning jealousy and judgmental habits. Yeah. I feel like that's a big one, like coming up in your early 20s, late teens. Where was I going with this? Oh, I feel like everyone, when they're coming up on YouTube, has one person making really similar content. And maybe your subscriber count is really similar. And mm-hmm. you look at them as like your little nemesis.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and it's, I feel like it's healthy to have one of those because it keeps you on your toes. Like you keep like striving to be better, but also you can't let it go too far. Like you can't let it get like ugly nemesis, just like fun nemesis. Mm-hmm.
And those people can change too, because maybe you go ahead of them and then there's someone else that comes right up and you're like,
yep. Yeah, it changes as you go along. But like one of the beautiful things about like when I met all the BookTube people, because I am so competitive, and I think like the generation before us kind of like instilled this framework where like when someone's really good at something, they're like, well, you can be better. You know, like that thing.
Which generation?
Like our parents' generation.
Oh, our parents, yeah.
Like I feel like it was like, well, you can do better than them. Like you can be better. Or you're better. And so you just have to work harder and you can like beat them. That sort of a thing. I feel like it was like all around us. Like this competitiveness, especially between women. Like that's changing. Yeah. But like there was this competitive air amongst women. Like there can only be so many women this. Like you have to work harder. You could be better. Mm-hmm. Like as a society. And I'm really glad that has changed because it's completely not true and it pits us against each other for the male agenda.
I also I had such a hard time with this back in my early 20s because I would compare. And now, honestly, I live by comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And I see sometimes my friends will talk about, they'll be like, well, why does this person have this? And I'm like, stop comparing yourself. Like your lives are different. You know,
everything's different.
Everything is different. And it's when you can't sit back and look at cause that's what I had to do when I was younger. Cause I was in such a state of suffering that I had to sit back and find where my joy was. And it was honestly I don't know how I got through it. It was because of church and because of Twilight and because of reading and because of that state that I was constantly in. It's like now I'm just so grateful and joyful for everything that I've been able to have. Mm-hmm. But even back then, it's just like a numbers game, you know, when as content creators, we are just constantly comparing and seeing what other people are getting and be like, well, why can't I have that? And it's like, defining you kind of figure out the system a little bit.
Well, defining yourself by number is so unhealthy. And that's what it trains you to do. Mm-hmm. And you're not a number. But I just remembered where I was going with my train of thought there with the BookTube thing, with the beauty of when I met the BookTube community, it was I was already at the top of it. So I didn't feel any pressure to be competitive.
I'm over here.
Myself. But when, because I was at the top of BookTube for a really long time, and when I was changing jobs and I could see that I couldn't maintain that because it's impossible to do 50 jobs at the top of your game there. It was really hard for me to let go of it because I just felt what are people going to think that she sucks and she's a loser and she's a failure. I had I went through such an anxiety arc being everyone's gonna look at me like I've failed. And I think so I wanted to talk about Enneagrams in this episode because I feel it really relates to how we see ourselves in these situations. Mm-hmm. But I'm an Enneagram 3 and the biggest fear is being seen as a failure.
I know, I was reading your stuff. I'm like, wow, this is Christine.
It is. When Maureen told me I was a 3 and she let me read it, I was like, holy fuck. I am such a 3 wing 4. But yeah, that it took me a long time to kind of make peace with that. You're not failing. You're moving on to different things and trying to accomplish your goals. You can't just keep doing the same thing forever. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna make you, and that also starts to not make you happy. You want to grow and evolve.
That's I think I was so unhappy with where I was at, with my YouTube channel. It wasn't working for me, and I had to figure something else to to get me to like maybe the next phase of life, because I was just kind of holding on and being like, I don't know why this isn't working for me, but it's not. And so like I had to take myself out of that mindset of constantly comparing myself to others. And like, that's why I got a job initially, because I needed something that would show me my worth in other attributes of life. And to see myself in that setting, and it's really what like pushed me and propelled me to be like, okay, well, I have different accomplishments in other ways. And like, I'm so happy I made that decision for my life. Because I think just in like early YouTube days, I was just comparing and being like, why am I not hitting these goals that I want to? But
yeah, it's hard. It is hard. Like, because we are basically like, again, I feel like ingrained to compare ourselves, because that's how the business end of it looks at you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not worth anything.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've got it. Nicole says, it's also interesting how what you're jealous about can change so much depending on your circumstances. When I was young, I had a good friend group, but no romantic life. And I was so jealous of girls with boyfriends. Now I have a fiance, but I've moved to a new area without knowing anyone here. So I get jealous of people who easily make friends. Mm. Little me would be so jealous of current me, but I'm jealous of little me. Aww. I feel like it's especially hard though when the comparison is imposed from the outside. Like if your parents compare you with your siblings, or for you two, I'm sure being in the public eye, people make comments comparing you to others all the time. Yeah. I feel like that's just also like in school you're compared too. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. And it's really hard. Like that breeds jealousy.
Yeah, and it's just what us humans do. I think Alex feels more of this because I was always the golden child. Sorry, Alex. So I never felt that comparison because I was always the one people compared to.
Okay. Someone once said, your first reaction is what you've been conditioned to believe, and your second reaction is what you actually believe. And that comforts me when I initially want to be jealous, but then remind myself to be happy for others and focus on my own timeline, which is a really great
wise
point. Very wise, because that is very, very true. Like the second reaction is like when you take a step back and take everything that you've learned in life and know, instead of going to your like gut punch, like this is what I was trained as a child to think. Mm-hmm. Which is really nice. So let's see here. Yeah, I've been working really hard to sidestep like the competitive instinct, because that's just like always there in me. And I hate, like, I love it sometimes because, like we said, it serves its purpose to like motivate. But when it starts making you feel shitty about yourself is when it gets unhealthy. And I feel like it's really, everyone's gonna have their time. If you're working hard at something, like you're gonna find your stride. And if it's not right now, like keep working for when it will be. Like you'll find it. Like as long as you keep trying, you'll find your stride and what makes you feel good about yourself. And I feel like that's something that I really have been working on in the last like 5 years of like just like transitioning jobs. And it's like you're going to find your way if you keep trying. And like when other people find their ways, like the instinct is to feel like why am I a piece of shit? But like, you're not. Like you're gonna find it, and you're like, you also are good at what you do, and it's going to find its way.
I feel like I had to reprogram. I'm very proud of the work that I did on myself, to reprogram my thoughts about other people's bodies and compare myself to other people's bodies, especially when you're younger and when, you know, you grew up again with the generation that raised us. There's so much comparison, being like, well, why can't I look like her? Like, why do I have this body? And that's what body positivity did for me, which was literally like, I can look at anyone now and I just say, they're just beautiful, instead of being like, well, Like, I remember watching, like, the red carpet sometimes with my mom and her just picking out little, like, nitpicky things about, like, why this person isn't the type of beauty that our society likes. And I am just always so, I just love looking at people and having that mindset now. Like, it's so healing, yeah. Right? Yeah. To have that. But yeah, because that's what I dealt with so much when I was younger. With just comparing bodies.
It's really, really great, like, the how far you've come on that. It's so hard to change your, like, perspective. And I feel like I've worked on that, like, with just, like, beauty in general, you know? Like, there's not, like, one look that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, everyone is beautiful in their own way. Like, if you just open your mind to, like, not having this constricted view of what's pretty. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, again, as a society, we're, like, trained to be so mean. I feel like the way that magazines talk about different women and stars, like, well, the magazines that we were reading growing up, now it's different. It's like Instagram and stuff. I don't know. I'm sure there's
It's Instagram now.
Yeah, it's Instagram now. But, like, the headlines would be terrible. Like, they'd be, like, about, like, how disgusting a celebrity looks in a picture, you know?
Mm. It's just a person living in their body.
Yes. It would be terrible. So I wanted to talk about the Enneagrams, unless you had another thing.
Nope.
All right. So I feel like the Enneagram, it's a personality, like, organized. It's like there are 9 different personality types, and they're Enneagrams 1 through 9. And they're just so fucking accurate in so many different ways. I found, like, the deeper I've fallen into this spiral of Enneagram information. And I feel like that really feeds into self-growth, because it tells you things about yourself that maybe you weren't aware of until you read it and you're like, wow, I do that. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, I didn't see it that way, but now I can be aware of it and, like, try to grow from this information. So what is your Enneagram, Natasha?
I am a 2 wing 3, and they are typically called the hosts. Do you know what yours is called?
Yeah, so 3s are the achievers, but 3 wing 4 are the professionals.
Oh, wait, hold on. What I think the 2s are the helpers.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, yours is the professionals? Wait.
Well, 3s are the achievers, and, like, I do identify with that title. But, like, and 4s I feel like are, like, feelers, like, they feel things really deeply and profoundly. But, like, the specifically 3 wing 4 on a couple of the websites I saw, like, have the name, like, the professionals.
Got it. So yeah, the hosts tend to be ambitious, altruistic, and sociable in their behavior. They love building connections with others and helping to make a difference in the world. Enneagram 2 wing 3 fear being unwanted or worthless. They usually avoid this by building personal connections with others and working hard to meet the needs of the community. That's my career. Their most basic desire is to be loved and accepted. They may express this by being extremely attentive and attached to other people.
Hmm. Do you relate to this?
Yes. Oh, and then I think that hosts tend to suppress their own negative emotions, which, when done frequently, can lead to high levels of stress or unexpected outbursts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Should I read mine and then we'll go into, like, the strengths and stuff?
Yeah.
All right. So 3 wings 4. Let's see. So they're afraid of discovering... they're afraid of not discovering something new or achieving something great or not living an extraordinary life. As they measure themselves by success, they feel that only by dedicating their whole life to their goals will their life be valuable. for a three wing four, it feels like an obligation to do that. So like, obviously everyone wants success, but like, it feels like they have to do it or else they're like nothing. And they identify with this permanent pursuit and wouldn't know who they were if they remained still. Their deepest fear is not being worthy of love and feeling useless and not accepted. They're very career oriented and are more introverted than other threes. Enneagram type three wing fours most basically desire to feel love, accepted, be really good at something.
What was the last bit?
It's there. This is from another site. I looked at a couple different definitions, but like this one said that Enneagram type three wing four's most basic desires to feel loved, accepted, and to be really good at something and reach the top.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So let's see. Yeah, they're hardworking, focus on their goals, thrive when they accomplish tasks. Satisfaction of finally getting what took them so much effort and time is priceless, and their self-esteem shines brighter when that happens and they feel more confident to overcome new challenges. And I definitely feel like that. Like when I hit some sort of goal, I feel like, okay, I can do this other goal, but like I don't know if I can do it if I don't hit the other one, you know, like it all kind of builds on each other. But like they have a hard time accepting failure as it makes their self-reliance crumble and frustration becomes hard to deal with and disconnects them from others, which makes things worse. So that's the basic three. Katie's like, BRB, gonna see what I am so I can relate to this conversation.
I feel like the Enneagrams got really popular a few years ago. And honestly, it's funny in the Christian community because it was like the first like personality test that wasn't, you know, affected by the stars or science. And, which I think is very funny to me.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is just like what it is. It's not like the star made you this way. It's like, okay, there's 9 different types of people. Which type are you?
With the different, you know, wings and stuff.
Yeah, with the different wings, like it can really nail you. So like, okay, what are the strengths of being a two? And like, do you find that it relates to like how you like move through life?
I pulled strength from two wing three. But yes, so optimistic worldview and upbeat attitude. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Building deep personal connections.
Yes, definitely.
That's why I have so many friends. Being adaptable in stressful situations.
Mm-hmm. That's a three thing too. Yeah.
Communicating clearly and effectively. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can shy away from that.
That I think when you're shying away from it is like you under stress where like twos like hide their negative emotions.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then passion for serving others, which...
Definitely.
Yes. Entire life. And honestly, and I think it's why, like, I never really talk about this very publicly, but, like, being a talent manager is honestly perfect for me because I am able to help people, and it's honestly so much hand holding than it is like professional, like trying to get the gig and things like that. But it's like I have such a passion for helping people, and that's like why I wanted to be a youth group leader and why I just kind of transitioned into being a talent manager, just so like people who are new to this, who are like kind of flailing about, like I had to help a lot of people this year because they're like, I think I've hit a plateau. I'm like, it's okay. This happens all the time. Like you're going to get through it and you're going to find something new that you want to do. And so
it's important to have that person to walk you through those plateau times because you can really spiral out.
Yes.
Should I do my strengths or should we do?
Yeah, do your strengths.
Okay. So that just reminded me, though, of, like, the adaptability thing for threes. It was really interesting. I was reading on these sites, like, three wing four is more, like, self-aware of their feelings and stuff and, like, really wants to be genuine. And when they're like adapting to a certain thing, but they feel like they're not like genuinely being themselves and being honest, it makes them like spiral. And I feel that way so hard in social media when I'm like trying to do a trend, because like you need your fucking socials to do well, but like it's not something you would normally do. Like I feel so like disgusted with myself about it. Like, ugh, I'm just doing this to go with the trends, and like it's not something that like really feels like me, and I hate it. But anyway, okay, so the strengths here are diligence to achieve goals, ability to find areas for individual growth, hardworking and industrious, ability to easily connect with and charm others. Okay, so Natasha, did those, I guess like mine were really like, I didn't take any really interesting
time. Ability to find areas for individual growth, hardworking, and I mean all of this is just you.
Yeah, it's also
the ability to easily connect and charm others. I feel like you do that on YouTube. That's why you've been so successful.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like I can do it in real life. It's just like when I let the introvert
go
win. Yeah. I go and hide. All right. So what about, let's talk about the weaknesses here. So tendency to be overly competitive or obsessive is on your weaknesses.
This competitive, we're just going to delete that because I'm not. tendency to be obsessive. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That is me. That is why I get obsessed with Twilight. And I mean, also I get obsessed with people too. Like,
yeah,
that's how I make my friends, is I see someone, I'm like, ooh, I like you. And I'm like, let's be friends now.
I feel like it's really interesting when you first take this test and you relate to all the positive things and then you see the negatives and you're like, no.
Yeah. I'm not like that. No.
I feel like when I tell people in my real life to take this test and they get sorted and they read the negatives and they're immediately like, I don't like this. And it's that like gut instinct to not confront the negative aspects of maybe like, or like the things you have to work on, and you don't want to confront them because a lot of people aren't super self-aware of that. And then becoming aware of it is really hard at first because you have to like accept that you're not perfect. Mm-hmm. And no one is.
Nobody's perfect. Okay. Next one is not acknowledging their own needs. Yeah.
Yes, that's so real.
Yeah. So taking criticism personally. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. And then criticizing themselves and others when under pressure. Yes, I just went through that.
Yeah, it's hard to like train yourself not to take criticism personally. I feel like I've gotten really good at like regulating myself on that front because of like, I love getting notes because I think this goes back to like the, I don't know, like the honesty thing. I fucking hate smoke being blown up my ass. Like, I don't want to hear like just empty praise. And that's such a thing in LA. Like, everyone loves to just be like, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great. And then like behind your back be like, this is wrong with this. And I'm like, just fucking tell me, because I want to learn. Like, I want to get better. And if you don't tell me what you need to be better in this draft of this, like, I can't fix it. I can't grow. I can't get better. I can't achieve my goals. Like, just fucking tell me. Because I can take it. I'll retreat for like 24 hours to think about it. But I'm not going to like be like, oh, you hate me or I'm a horrible person. Like, I don't take it like that. I take it like, okay, I need to fix this. How do I fix it? How do I fix it? How do I fix it? And it ultimately like makes it better in the long run. And I'm really grateful for it always.
Yeah, I'm not like that. If I get criticized like too much, then I just like cry. And that's the Pisces like, in me.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about like criticism like meanness. I'm talking like constructive. Like, are you thinking mean criticism, or like what are you thinking?
I don't, here's the thing. I don't get criticized a lot. The people who criticize me would be my brother. And then I have to like sit there and think about it. I also think I'm always right. So, yeah, it takes a lot for me to be like, okay, fine.
I feel like it's really great when someone who thinks they're always right can take a step back. Like, it's really nice and like makes you feel like a really, I don't know. Like, it's like a really bonding moment when someone who's always like insisting they're right will finally like admit that something was wrong when it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just like it relaxes something, because I have a lot of people in my life who think they're always right, and you're not one of them that I like.
No, really I think so I'm thinking like about that with my brother, because I'm just thinking. Yeah. I think of constructive criticism, it would be coming from you or Heather, and I do take it. I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I can change that. Like, I'll say I'm wrong until I'm blue in the face, but there's certain people that I won't say that to, like my brother.
Like, it depends on the person. But like, especially I feel like authority figures, when they're wrong, they really never admit to it. And when an authority figure will like admit to like something that they said wrong, I really appreciate it.
Yes.
Because that shows that they're like human and that they can evolve and grow.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Everyone makes fucking mistakes.
Everyone has those days.
Katie, you got the push. There's no pushover type. There's other things for that type. What number is
what
it?
What number is that?
Katie says I got the pushover type. What is that? Nine. Oh, Maureen's a nine, I think.
Yeah, Maureen's, that's not a pushover.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think nine has like a lot of different aspects of the different Enneagrams like combined, I feel like she said. Everyone's a nine? Can you paste what a nine is in the chat? Like, copy and paste it. Nines aren't bad. No, nothing's bad.
Nothing's
bad. Let's just get that out of the way. There's no bad Enneagram. Like, it's just like it's like a personality map to like. Okay, so nines are usually creative, optimistic, and supportive.
Stop talking, everyone.
Are usually creative, optimistic, and supportive, but can also be too willing to go along with others. Oh, it's the peacekeeper. Is that what nine is? The peacekeeper? I feel like that sounds familiar. To keep the peace. They want everything to go smoothly and be without conflict, but they can also tend to be complacent, simplifying problems and minimizing anything upsetting. They typically have problems with inertia and stubbornness. At their best, they're indomitable and all-embracing. They're able to bring people together and heal conflicts. So this is the thing I was talking about, that like all the negative things are what pops out to you when you first read it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I hate this, go away. But like the peacekeeper is like a really like, I feel like, kind and like down to earth person, and you mm-hmm. need that type of person in a friend group.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Kirsten, my friend Kirsten's a nine as well.
Yeah,
she's a social worker.
You know who's a nine? The lead in Happy Place. She is a very nine, Harriet. And like she's
I'm cackling at Nicole's. I'm cackling at the fact that I heard nines are hobbit type people who love comfort, and I was like, yep, that's me.
You know, it's really fun once you find your Enneagram type to like follow one of these like Enneagram meme Instagram accounts. Mm-hmm. They're so fun, and they're like right on the money a lot of the time with their like Enneagram memes. Yeah, nines want peace, comfort, and harmony, which, yeah, that's like the core desire, right? All right, let's see. Did we do all your weaknesses, mm-hmm. Natasha? Okay. Mine are obsessive about professional success. True story. Overly competitive, at times unnecessarily so. True story.
Oh my.
Seek praise from others too aggressively.
I don't know about that. That sounds more like me.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I'm really like scared about that. I like hide. I want it genuine when it's praise. Tendency to be too introverted and focused on self-image, which is true story. So this is a three thing. I've read in other three places, but like you're really, you can get really caught up in like what people are going to think of you based on like something that you put out, like how they're going to look at it and what it's going to make them think. And you try to like see everything you do from like every possible perspective. And I definitely get caught in these spirals where like if someone says they watched my video that like isn't like a typical person, like someone in my life, I'll go watch it as them to like think what they thought when they watched it. Like I literally do that anytime someone like who I'm like, oh no, they watched it. What did they think? I'm like, okay, I'm going to go watch it as them.
I feel like I've done that before too.
Yeah. I do that with new followers on Instagram too, Nicole. I'm like, oh my God, this person's following me. I gotta go look and like as them and see what they thought. Or like if someone reads something that I wrote that I was like not expect, oh my God. When like someone from past like is like, oh, I read your book. I'm like, oh, I like can't even stand to like look at it and be like, how did they think when they were reading this? I can't even do it. But like the instinct is like go reread everything as them and be like mortified for myself.
I also think like it's funny because for a long time like you wouldn't share how like you got like your hair like differently or
oh my gosh.
And you're like, I don't want people to know. And I'm like, oh my gosh, calm down.
Yes. Okay. It's because I had this instinct, like not instinct, people around me used to like shame people for like getting their hair and be like, they're fake. And I think like my whole thing of like wanting to be genuine and like honest and not lie, like it feels like my hair became a lie. Because I started getting balayage when I was 25. Like I waited so long to do anything to my hair because I didn't want my hair to be a lie, Natasha.
So ridiculous.
It's so stupid. What a ridiculous way to think.
I like, well, yes, it's actually how I thought. I was like, you're dumb, stop.
Like I had to like get over it. I finally like said the word balayage in my latest post and I was like, oh my God, people know.
Finally.
Am I a lie? Am I a lie now?
Well, me over here, I'm like, yeah, I have extensions in my hair. Half of it's fake.
Oh my God.
But I see, no, I mean, that's just ingrained in us in childhood. When
yeah, it was definitely a childhood thing. Like everyone was like, oh, is your hair natural? Like, and you wanted to be like, yeah, it's 100% natural, no filter.
Yeah, someone asked me recently, I had like a question thing. They're like, have you gotten work done? And I was like, no, I actually haven't. That's very interesting. Someone has asked me that. But I'm also like totally okay with talking about it if I ever do get anything done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate people who do that on social media because it just, it makes everything less taboo.
Yes. And like the fucking Kardashians just need to talk about what they get done because it just sets a ridiculous beauty standard for people.
Abby says that's a great line of opening line of a book. Let me put that in my pocket. My hair is a lie is gonna be how my fifth book
I love
opens.
That my hair is a lie. It holds secrets. Okay, let's talk about, now that we talked about like our Enneagram and yes. how we process stuff, mm-hmm. what happens when you hit a goal and how do you process it or celebrate? Do you even celebrate it? You know, when you're hitting, you're finding joy in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
I am so scared like that if I celebrate stuff that's good, it's going to be taken away and it's going to end. So mm-hmm. I remember like when I hit 400,000 subscribers on YouTube, I didn't tell anybody. No one. Because I didn't want people to be mad that I hit it. Like, I don't want people to like hate me for like hitting a landmark because so much of our audience was young that like, and so much of like the new YouTube is young, like in that time and our community was young. I felt like everyone hated everything that like when I put out my book, they hated me. Like when I like reached a landmark, they hated me. And so of course I publicly celebrated the book, but I also felt like it's hard to like process that in a way that like is healthy when people are like, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve this. You don't
trauma behind that yeah. because of the way like people reacted.
But yeah, so when I hit 400K, like, that felt huge, but also I was just like, I can't say anything. First of all, it's like, oh, what if YouTube hates me after this? They already kind of hate it. Like, you, like, 400K was like deep in. It was already like, wait, it wasn't like peak YouTube times. It was like, I'm working so hard for every video to hit. I don't know if everyone remembers when I did the, like, I hate reading vlogs, and then the next day I posted my reading vlog. Like, I was deep in strategy and it fucking worked. But like, I was deep in strategy to get that algorithm working for me again.
I remember.
Yeah, that was, I was hardcore masterminding.
What if I told you I'm a mastermind?
That whole summer I was just like mastermind of everything I posted. But yeah, like when I hit 400K, I was just like completely silent. And you know what? Like, I guess like I'm learning now that you should just celebrate things because everything ends. You know, and it's yep. like that fear that it's going to end if you celebrate it. But like, even when Again But Better hit the bestseller list, and it was on the bestseller list for like 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks. And every time I was just like, oh my God, should I post about this or is posting about it going to make it end? Like,
it's, yeah, that's like, I'm very opposite of that. I revel in my accomplishments, like, has to be celebrated, have, like, that's why my birthdays are so big. because for too long, I've already said this, I was just in failure and suppression mode. And now when there's something big that happens while other people have been able to celebrate it years ago, I'm like, oh my gosh, finally, yes, it's happening to me, fucking celebrating this. Like, it's and it's, I just, and for me, I know, like, I have to kind of ready myself for the, you know, the end, what, like, the doom that will happen if, you know, when I fall again, but then I'll get right back up on another huge, like, celebration. And, like, and even yesterday, Christine and I were like, woe is me, like, blah, blah, blah. We've not had good days. And I was like, well, I did have a win today.
Yeah.
So I always have to find that joy, because the joy is the thing that keeps us going. It's what life is all about, is joy and finding happiness. Mm-hmm. And when we can't celebrate it because we have fear, that's awful. And it's, yeah, because society makes us that way.
Yeah. I love what Katie's saying here. One thing I hate is when you accomplish something and we're excited to be like, IDK, how this happened. I guess I just got lucky. Like, no, mm-hmm. like, no, I worked hard for this and I deserve it. And I'm not going to act passive because I very actively made choices to get here. Yeah. That's something that's, I feel like, very much ingrained in us as, like, women, like, everything, you have to be super, super humble. And I, like, whereas, like, obviously I don't want to be like super arrogant, there's like a line in the middle. It's like very hard to walk it because of how we are supposed to act. Like, it's like, oh, I just stumbled here.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to like people being like women being pitted against each other and the jealousy, like, you don't want that to happen. So you're like, oh, I just got really lucky. I can't believe it.
And I think, like, as I feel like I have a different point of view because my body is suppressed. Like, if, like, me as a person, like, fat people in society, we're invisible. And so it's like, we have to make a big deal about things because we take up a lot of space. And it's like, we have to really work for that to be seen. So it's like every little thing, it's like, I'm fucking digging out of this hole. I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Abby said for a long time, I didn't bring up the fact that I got rep room because I didn't want them to feel bad and I thought they wouldn't like me. And now I like sharing it and telling them how exciting it was. Like, exactly. Like, all these different things, like, it's okay to be excited about them on socials. Like, all the joy, all the like body positivity. And it's like, it's so hard to, like, Natasha, what you're saying, like, the way that you're like so outwardly positive about your own look is really inspiring, because so many of us are like told if we say that we're like I feel like people used to tell me I was narcissistic for taking pictures. Like, it's so stupid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you don't want to come off like you're like full of yourself. That's what everyone would say. Like, oh my God, so full of yourself. But really, it's just like being positive about yourself so that you can feel good about yourself, because everything tells us to feel bad about ourselves. Like, and Abby like feeling bad because she doesn't want people to like not like her for something wonderful that happened. Like, it's just, it's all so sad that we feel that way all the time about everything. So you just have to embrace the joy. That's,
I would
the
love
lesson
to hear
here.
like a man's point of view on all this.
Yeah, like, do they think about any of this?
Do they? Yep, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, let's not encourage men to speak, Effie said.
Yeah, sorry, this is no.
Oh my God. Yeah, I want to start celebrating things more. I'm going to be excited when things happen and not think it's going to jinx everything and take it away.
Yes, Miss Superstitious over there, knock on wood.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, like I look back on those things and I'm like, when I hit the bestseller Some Better Together, we just like got ice cream. Which was, at least we did something. But
well, it was pandemic times.
It was pandemic times. But like, yeah, so many things I just like didn't do anything, because I'm like, okay, this is great. Shh.
Some of that stuff goes away so quickly.
Yeah, I know. It was dumb. All right. Well, is there anything else we want to add here before we move on?
I mean, this is an ongoing discussion, but yes. If anyone has anything else they want to add to it, like, feel free to comment and send us an email. Or yeah, if you're on YouTube, like, leave us a comment. We always love to
Or if you're here right now and we haven't talked about something, throw it in the chat. Mm-hmm. We'll try to read it really fast before it disappears. Because the chat's glitching today. All right. Let's move on to Marry, Kiss, Cliff, and then we're going to announce what we're reading next, because we took a poll on Instagram, so you should be following us on Instagram so you don't miss exciting polls like this, to figure out what the majority wanted to do next for Chapter Chat, and it was in between Akamath and The Host. First, Marry, Kiss, Cliff.
Christine, you did Marry, Kiss, Cliff.
Who did you pick? Today we've got Kristen Stewart, Jennifer Lawrence, and Shailene Woodley, the YA queens of our time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Okay, well, Jennifer Lawrence, I'm marrying, because I love
too.
That woman.
Me too.
Kristen Stewart is just hot, so I'm going to kiss her. Mm-hmm. And sorry, Shailene, I'm going to push you off the cliff.
Katie said it's not looking good for Shailene.
I was always like meh about her. She's great. Great actress.
You know what? I think maybe I'll kiss Shailene and maybe I'll cliff Kristen. Sorry,
what?
Kristen. Sorry. I think Shailene's pretty hot too.
She is.
I haven't seen her in a while. Like, where's she been?
I don't know.
Taking a break.
She had like a movie on Netflix.
Yeah. Recently?
No, like last year or something.
All right.
I think Nicole says, I think Shailene does good activism work.
Yeah, she does. She does a lot for the environment with, like, I remember she was doing stuff for like oil in Alaska.
Oh.
You know? Yeah,
she's also like a naturalist, so she makes her own deodorant.
So I wouldn't want to marry her. What I forgot to talk about, I wanted to ask, like, when was it the last, like, is there a time that you remember feeling genuine joy for someone's joy that really stands out to you? Because I feel like it happens more and more now that I'm older.
I can't really talk about this one, though, and it has to do with you.
Oh.
It was one of many, Christine's many accomplishments, where I got a phone call and she told me something really exciting happened, and I just started crying because I was so happy for her.
Oh, was it the one with...
Yes. Okay, Grace, what about you? Did you ever feel genuine happiness for someone?
Yeah, so recently I just feel it, and it's so nice when, like, you're so excited about other people's thing. And, like, I feel like you've had so many, like, when you, like, had Lilac and, like, you signed, like, Tessa, I just, like, was so excited for you. Like, it was, when you just even made Lilac, like, it was, thought it was the coolest thing. When I'm, like, crying.
That's when you know it's true.
And, like, my friend Katie, she just graduated law school and she got, like, the most amazing job. And, like, I was just so, like, flat out, like, she was so excited. I was so excited. Like, it's stuff like that. When Olivia got engaged, like, I was just, like, so over the moon happy. I feel like I was just, like, glowing alongside them because I was so happy for them. And it was, yeah, that's something that, like, didn't happen in that way, like, 10 years ago, you know, like, because you just don't have enough perspective and, like, you don't know yourself well enough yet. And it's so beautiful to, like, actually, like, be in that place. But yeah, so that's goals for everything. Every time someone accomplishes anything.
Yes.
I feel like it's still working on it when it's, like, something that you also want to accomplish so badly sometimes. Like, that's there's that first wave of, like, like I feel like it kind of chokes you and it's like, you're not there yet.
Yeah.
It's like, you may never get there.
I all my friends getting married and having babies and buying houses, like, that stuff doesn't even affect me because it's like, I'm on my own trajectory and I can be so happy and joyful for them within that moment. But it's like the other stuff, I'm like, why not me?
I feel like I've gotten to a place where, like, mostly, like, most things, like, I could feel genuine joy unless it's, like, a career related, like, specific thing that I'm, like, in a, and I'm in anxious place. Like, it's when you're at your lowest mental place usually that, like, these things really get to you. If you're, like, feeling really anxious about something else, then, like, someone else's goal that's very close to what you're feeling anxious about can really be a mental struggle to kind of, like, process in a positive way. All right.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. What are we reading?
What are we reading? Oh my gosh.
I don't even know.
I know, because I just tallied up all of the votes. It was a close race, y'all. Drum roll. Oh, I have a drum roll sound effect, but I don't have it in here. I'm just going to use my do 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 do. I got to get the drum roll in here. Nicole, why am I not on top of that? All right. So we came out to 40 votes for The Host, but 49 votes for Akamath in our comments. So thank you, everyone who voted. And if you want to be involved in future votes, follow us on Instagram. So we're going to be reading A Court of Mist and Fury. Oh, my gosh.
Which one would you have voted for? Because we didn't put our votes in.
Well, I don't know. I'm torn. Like, I want to read those, but I really want to read Akamath, and I know I'm not going to reread it if we don't reread it together. That's true. So
I'm kind of happy.
What?
I said, I'm a little happy because I do just want to jump into Akamath.
I know. Wait, what are we missing in the chat? Damn it. Everyone's talking. Oh, Enneagram results. What? Okay. So I'm really excited to reread Akamaf, but I really do want to reread The Host too. So hopefully we can do both. And everyone that voted for The Host, like, I feel like we still want to read it. So mm-hmm. it's still on our list to reread. Hopefully we will do The Host next, because I don't think we need to reread A Court of Wings and Ruin unless we don't. Okay, cool.
No, I'm good. I don't need to reread that, even though I don't remember most of that book.
Austasia, is, I know I'm pronouncing your name wrong. How do we pronounce your name? Because I've wanted to say things that you've said.
She goes,
I
don't want to say Anne, it says.
Oh, it's Anne. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. You said I want to read The Host, but I heard the series isn't complete. The thing is, The Host has an end. Like, it doesn't feel like it needs more, especially if you don't think of it as being part of a trilogy. It's only because she said she's writing three mm-hmm. that we were like, oh, there's gonna be more.
Yeah, but it has like, a nice ending where you
it
feel
has a very nice
satisfied
ending. It's a satisfying ending. It's a beautiful novel. It has a lot of themes, like my favorite themes, like the themes you get when you read, when you watch Westworld season one, like, oh, they hit hard about humanity and what makes you human. It's beautiful. But yeah, so next week we'll read chapters 1 and 2 of Akamaf.
Oh my gosh.
We'll see how reading 2 chapters goes, and if we feel like we can do 3 in a reasonable time at the end of the show, we will. But I do think like we'll be rushed, because a lot of times we're running out of time when we do the segment chapter chat. So okay, let's do 2. Let's do 2 this week. See how it goes. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. All right. So that's our show today. In tea time, we're going to be continuing the philosophical therapeutic discussion. Our topic is like, what's one thing you miss after finding out it doesn't serve your body or mind and doesn't enhance your quality of life? And I feel like we all have lots of things that could fit those descriptions.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking a little bit about what's been going on with us. I just went on a whole Miami trip. Let me talk a little bit about that. And Natasha's been doing stuff. So we'll see you there if it'll be starting right after this, if you're a patron. Oh my God, Abby, you are such a type 7.
Yes. Okay.
Everyone in the chat saying their Enneagram tests. Everyone out there, let us know in the comments on Instagram what type you are, what type you
and
got.
Give us a little bio so that we know.
Yeah. I love getting to know y'all. So we get to know everyone in the chat really nicely by like talking during the show. And if you're not in the chat, like give us a little bio of you and your Enneagram in the comments section today. That would be beautiful. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Alita got 2. And if I'm saying your name wrong ever, please correct me. I like notes. All right. That's our show today. Our show is edited by Alex Polis and Jake Needham. The music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. My name's Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And we post new episodes every Friday. We will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. All our socials and links to everything we discussed are in the show notes. Thanks, y'all. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.